Today's daf is Zvachim daf hey. We're going to start near the bottom of Dalet Amud Bet. Okay, we ended yesterday with Shar Kol HaKodshim. We wanted to know, how do we know that this din of Shuna Kodesh and Shuna Balim applies to all the Korbanot? Because mostly the proofs we saw were about the Shlamim. And we said, because it says, okay, this is about seven lines from the bottom. Zo Torat HaTorah la'ola ulemincha ulechatar ulehasham ulemiluim ulezevach haShlamim. Hikishana katuv leShlamim. Ma Shlamim bein Shinoi Kodesh bein Shinoi Balim beinan lishma. Right, just like we need lishma for that. Af kol bein Shinoi Kodesh bein Shinoi Balim beinan lishma. So we learned it from this pasuk that puts together all the korbanot. They're just going to be the same. There's an obvious problem with this, which is what? Remember, the din of lishma is different when it comes to the shlamim and the chatat, right? Because the chatat and the pesach, it's pasul and, right, it's entirely disqualified, whereas the others, it's not. We'll relate to that later, but in the meantime, they're going to say, basically, we learn from here to all of them, at least the general concept that shinoi lishma, that you need lishma, and you need it l'shem habalim. And then as shinoi, we create a problem. So then they say, Ema, Hecha deshachit lehu shelo lishma lifsalu. But okay, so that explains to us the concept that it's a problem, right? But now they say, well, if it's a problem, then you would say that what? Hecha deshachit lehu shelo lishma lifsalu. They should be entirely disqualified and not used at all, like we see by the chatat. So they say, no, there's a special pasuk that teaches you that that's not the case. Amar kra, and that we saw before, motzas v'techa tishmor v'asita kasher nadarta. And then it switches to, right, nidava shir dibarta b'ficha. So what do they say here? Hai nidava nederhu, right? What do you mean it's a nidava? Why are they all of a sudden call it nidava? A minute ago it was a neder. Ela im kemosha nadarta sita yehe neder. Vim lav yehe nidava, right? If you do as you promised, then it'll be a neder. And if not, it turns into a nidava. Okay, so that's their proof text. We have number one proof text. How do we know that it applies not just to shlamim, but that by all the korbanot? Right? All the korbanot, you're going to have this issue of shinoi shem. Okay? That's the first pasuk, zot haTorah, etc. And then we're going to learn that the fact that it might be, it's pasul, but yet you can bring it, right? It's not disqualified. Okay? Even though it doesn't work for what you wanted to do it for, right? It's no good, but it's also not disqualified. That we learn from motzat tzvatecha tishmur. So now the Gemara is going to say, why do we need both pasukim? V'itzrich motza tzvatecha v'itzrich zot haTorah. D'i katav rachmana motza lo yada b'may katav rachmana. If we were just using the motza tzvatecha, we wouldn't have known what the context is, that the context has to do with lishma. Okay, so therefore, we need the drasha of zot haTorah to teach you that the context is lishma and that applies across the board to all the korbanot. One second. Right, and that's why it tells you the lishma pasuk comes to teach you that we're going to learn the din of lishma for all the other korbanot. You would have thought it would be pasul, right, and totally disqualified, and therefore katavrachmana motzas vatecha to teach you that it's not disqualified, right? And there's a difference between. It's not kasher, but it's not. It can't be sacrificed as you intended, but it's also not disqualified. Okay, now we're going to move on to another thing. It's connected, but we're going to basically deal with this discussion between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Elazar. Rami Rish Lakish al moihu beit midrasha. He was lying on his stomach in the beit midrash. Not sure exactly why they're telling us this, that his panim were klapea karkarashi says. Okay, was lying stomach down. I don't know why they tell us those details. Umakshe, and he asked this question. Im kshirim hem, okay, here's the classic question for this whole sugya. Im kshirim hem, if they're kshirim, you're at su, then they should work to get, right? And if you say you started with an olam, you said it was for shlamim, or the kohen said it was for shlamim, this, right, so we say, you can continue to bring the korban, however, it doesn't work. It doesn't make any sense. Either it's kasher, and then you would get ritsui, right? The korban would be accepted as an ola, right? They're like you originally intended. V'im ein meratzim, lama ba'in.
And if it doesn't work, well, then what's the point of continuing to sacrifice it? Okay, big, classic, obvious question. Usually we have kasher pasul. Pasul means disqualified. Kasher means it's good, and it's good across the board. Here we have this in between where it's kasher to be brought as a korban, but it's not going to serve the purpose of what you originally intended. Amar lo Rabbi Elazar. There's a mistake here, and you'll see there's an interchange between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Eliezer, because we're going to remember Rabbi Elazar is an Emora. Okay, there's two Rabbi Elazars. One's an Emora, one's a Tana. But the later one is an Emora from Eretz Yisrael, and we're obviously having a discussion between Rish Lakish, who's an Emora from Eretz Yisrael, with Rabbi Elazar. That's why Rabbi Eliezer is only a Tana. There's no Emora named Rabbi Eliezer. So this is obviously Rabbi Elazar, who's later going to quote the Tana, Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, that's why probably there's a bit of confusion here with the Nuschaot. Amar lo Rabbi Elazar. Matzinu biba'in la'achar. He basically, before we read this, I'm going to say, he's going to say we have a precedent for something like this. Okay, where do we have a precedent for something like this? Where the korban can no longer function as the korban you intended, but it continues to be sacrificed. Matzinu biba'in la'achar mita. Okay, shehen ksherin ve'en meratzin. If you have a sacrifice that was brought, and then somebody died, okay, so he's designated the korban already, and then the person died before the korban was brought, it's kasher, meaning you continue to sacrifice it. However, ein miratzin, but it doesn't serve the purpose that it originally had, because the person's no longer there for it to be miratze, right? You don't need the ritzui once you're dead. How do we know this? Ditnan, ha'isha sheviya chatata. Okay, let's just go back. And isha is a yoledet here. She had a baby. And what are you supposed to bring when you have a baby? A chatat and an ola. So she sets aside two animals. She brings her korban chatat, and then, which generally was brought first, and then she dies. Yaviu yorshin olata. So the yorshim continue to bring the ola, even though, obviously, the woman doesn't need it brought for her purposes. She's dead. So here you have precedent for the fact that we have something. Here comes Rabbi Elazar, and he says, you're saying, where do we get this from? Well, here's a good example. Okay, we see in the Tanya and the Mishnah that, in fact, this sacrifice is brought even though there's no ritzui. What if, here's the continuation of the Mishnah, if she brings her ola first, even though generally bring the chata first, but she brought her ola and then meta, lo yaviu yorshim chatata. Okay, but they don't bring the chatat because there's no purpose to bring the chatat after her death. But we do see with the ola that it's brought after her death. So there you would see, like in our case. Amar lei, modina lach be'ola, de'atya la'achar mita. Okay, so he says, I agree with you. So you're telling me there's a precedent for this. So according to what you're saying, we have a precedent. Where do we have a precedent? In a korban ola. So therefore, I agree with you when it comes to an ola. So you've answered my question. If somebody brings a korban ola and says it's going to be for shlamim, or says it's going to be for asham, you know, I get it. So, okay, da'ati la'achar mita, because an ola can be brought after mita, and since it can be brought after mita, like with the woman, therefore we have a precedent for it, we could say the same thing by us. But asham, de'lo ati la'achar mita minalan, but if somebody designates a korban asham, okay, I'll remind you of some halakha we've learned from the past. Okay? If you remember, there's a term called, okay, let's start even with the chatat, okay? We say that a chatat meta. What does that mean? That if you designate a korban chatat, and then what happens? You die, okay? The animal that you, if you designated the animal already, that animal has to go to its death. We put it in a kippah, you know, in an area, until the animal dies, and that there's nothing you could do with it. In Asham, we say yiru with an ayin, ad sheyis ta'avu. Okay, what does this mean? You let it graze, and again, you kind of block it off in an area, otherwise you'll lose him. You let it graze until a mum gets into the animal. And once there's a mum, what do? You remember? You do pidyon, you sell it, you take the money, so you transfer the kedusha onto money. And what do you do with that money? You buy korbanot ola, okay? You buy, you know, depending on how much the animal is worth and how much you could buy from it, but presumably one korban ola, maybe two or three, we don't know. You buy korbanot ola, and you sacrifice them on the mizbeach. In what context? It's called ketz hamizbeach. Okay, they're brought as ketz hamizbeach. This is so that the mizbeach, they didn't ever want the mizbeach to be idle, so they would fill it with these korbanot, okay? They were korbanot nidava. Okay, so you would basically take them and sacrifice them as korbanot nedeva. So what do you see here? In Asham, right, according to this, in Asham, after the person dies, is not brought because you have to send the animal to graze. Okay? So basically, you see that the Asham is not brought after death. So therefore, comes Rish Lakish and says to Rabbi Elazar, so you answered my question. Okay, let's go back to his basic question. If they're kshirim, then it should work. And you should get, it should work for whatever korban you intended it for originally, even though you made a mistake along the way. And if they're not kshirim, you know, if they're not miratzim, if they're not providing the atonement, then why are you bothering to bring it in the first place? So Rabbi Elazar said, well, right, he didn't exactly answer his question because he didn't explain it really, but he said, we do have precedent for the fact that this exists, that you could bring a korban even though it's not miratzeh. However, comes Rish Lakish and says, well, that's only true for an ola, but not for an asham, because an asham, if the baalim would die after the death, you wouldn't bring it. So therefore, I would take your answer when it comes to the korban asham, ola. So if you have an ola that you said it's going to be a shlamim, fine, you can still bring it as an ola. But if it was an asham, and someone said, oh, I'm bringing it as a shlamim, then it would seem that we shouldn't, in other words, if it's not going to be meretzeh, we shouldn't bring it at all. So why are we continuing to sacrifice it? So, Amar Lei, Rabbi Elazar's answer is like this. Hare machlok tcha b'tzido. In fact, you're saying ola you get and not asham. Well, guess what? There's a machloket about asham as it is. Okay? And here we're going to see, he says, so according to what you're saying, Rish Lakish, and as if you're agreeing with me about Ola, you can agree with me about, you can take it to where you want to take it with Asham, then Asham wouldn't work. And you can match Rabbi Lezer's Tanaitic opinion, which is, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Afa Asham. The Asham is like the Chatat, that if you mess it up, you don't bring it at all. And comes Rabbi Lezer and answers his question with saying, well, if you're going to go that way, so fine, so go along with Rabbi Lezer's opinion. In other words, my answer fits in with Rabbi Lezer's opinion. Doesn't my answer, remember, what was his answer? His answer is we have a precedent for it with the woman who was the Yoledet. So Rish Lakish says, well, your precedent only works for Ola. So Rabbi Elazar says, that doesn't bother me because I can answer it according to Rabbi Eliezer. So comes Rish Lakish, is not very happy with that answer. And he says, Amar Lahu, Zeu Shomrim Alav Adam Gadolhu. This is what people say, you're an Adam Gadol. Kamina ana Mishnah Shlema va'at amartli Rabbi Eliezer. I was trying to explain the basic opinion in the Mishnah, and you're telling me, well, you can explain to me the one opinion that we don't follow? In other words, I want an answer that covers everything. Okay? That's the end of the, well, okay, it's not exactly the end, but that's the end of what Rabbi Eliezer says. So now we're going to have is Rish Lakish's answer, and then the Gemara is going to say, why didn't Rabbi Eliezer say blah, blah, blah? Okay? They're going to go back to Rabbi Eliezer and say, well, you could have had a better answer. Okay, so remember, Rabbi Elazar's answers, we do have a precedent from the Yoledet with the Ola case. Rish Lakish's problem with it was that it doesn't apply to the Asham. Rabbi Elazar kind of says, well, that's fine, at least it fits with Rabbi Eliezer. And Rish Lakish says, that's not satisfying enough for me because I want something that fits in with the basic opinion that an Asham is like all the others and not like the Chatat. So now, Rish Lakish says himself, Eftach ana pitcha l'nafshe. I will, right, it's an interesting way of saying it, I will open a petach for myself, meaning I'll find an answer, you know, I have my own answer. Motzas fatecha, okay, quotes again that, motzas fatecha pasuk, hai nedava nederhu, right, again, the pasuk started with a neder, and then it switches to nedava, kidla'el. So what does he say? He says, my answer is very simply, here we have the pasuk that explains it. In other words, the pasuk tells us that a neder can turn into a nidava, and that if you bring it, for the right, if it can no longer function for the intent you had originally, at least it can be a voluntary offering. And that's how he answers his question. In other words, you have to say, what do you mean? The question was answered already beforehand, but that's only because we have the Gemara here. You have to assume he didn't know that until the discussion ensued. In other words, this Gemara maybe is a little out of order. It should have brought this discussion first, and then, right, because this gives us the answer that we already said previously, which is this explains why we take this korban that can no longer be brought for what it is, and we turn it into something else, which, by the way, is similar, and we're going to come back to this. The asham is also similar in that way, because in a sense, you don't bring that exact animal. Here you continue to bring the exact animal. In asham, you do a pidyon, take the money from that, and bring new animals from that. So it's a similar idea also with the asham, and later we're going to say, why didn't Rabbi Elazar answer that? The asham, in fact, gets turned over also into a korban.
Are you going to say with the asham requirement?
No, you're not. No. So it's the same, really. Right. It's just that the one difference is you can't bring that exact animal, but you could bring the financial value of that animal and turn it into a different animal. So that's why they're going to say Rabbi Elazar could have answered that about the asham. Okay, but I don't want to give away the whole end of the Gemara. Yativ Rabbi Zera v'Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abba v'yativ Abaye Gabayhu. Okay, so Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abba, and Abai, they were sitting together, and Abai was with them. I never understood why. Maybe actually there must be a good reason here. It's probably they were sitting, and there's probably a different level in terms of who was more important than the other. Must be Abai was the student here. Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abba were sitting, and then Abai, the student, was sitting with them. I'm assuming that's why it says it in that way, instead of all three of them were sitting together. V'yatve v'ka'amre. Kashele l'rish lakish asham, delo ate la'acharmita. Right, he asked the question, what about the asham, according to what you're saying, Rabbi Elazar, what about the asham that you can't bring la'achar mita, and therefore there's no precedent for the fact that we would continue to sacrifice this sacrifice and not just say, it's disqualified. V'nasiv la talmuda, and he brought this pasuk, motzas vatecha. But that motzas vatecha pasuk is a little problematic. Why? Eima haba b'nedru nidava leite v'lo lirtze. Asham lo leite klal. That pasuk is talking about a neder and a dava. Why don't you say that haba b'neder b'nidava, you can bring it, even though you don't get ritzoy for it. But an asham, which is brought for a sin offering, right? And mosas v'atecha d'shmur is when the person says, I'm going to bring a korban, generally if you bring a neder and a dava, it's considered a korban ola. So it should apply for an ola and maybe things that are like it, like a shlamet. But something that comes as a sin offering, that maybe is different. And maybe lo leite klal, kind of like the chatat. Amar lehu Abaye, so now we have a question. Once he learned it from this Mosas Vatecha Pasuk, it's not so clear. That also, that each answer we've had so far, both Rabbi Elazar's and Rish Lakish's own answer, doesn't really relate to the Asham. Right? Doesn't. So how do we get the Asham? So Amar lehu Abaye, so Abaye is going to give an answer. And then eventually we're going to kind of reject his answer, and we're going to have an answer of Rava. Amar lehu Abaye, Rish Lakish mehacha patach. Okay, he started from here. B'shachat ota l'chatat. Okay, this is pasuk. This is about the v'samachet yado rosh chatat. B'shachat ota l'chatat b'mkom she'ishchat et ha'olah. Okay, what is this? This is the drasha. Okay, we haven't seen this yet. We said in the beginning in the Mishnah, when we saw the Mishnah, we'll get to the reasons why. Why is a chatat singled out, that it's different, that a chatat is totally disqualified? So the answer is this pasuk. V'shachat ota l'chatat. Ota, they darshan this ota, lishma k'shera. Shelo lishma psula. Okay, from the word ota, it's just could have said v'shachat, v'shachata l'chatat, or v'shachat l'chatat. So why does it say ota? It's to teach you this halacha, that if you do it lishma, it's k'shera. If shelo lishma, it's psula. So what can you derive from here? That it's only a unique din by a chatat. Hashar kodshim shelo lishman k'shirim. Okay, and from there you can infer that all the other kodashim are going to be, that you do lo lishma, are going to be ksherim, meaning, right, they don't work for what you wanted, but they are ksherim. Yachol yiratsu, you might have thought they do provide even ritsui for what you were bringing them for. Tamud lamar, motzas vatecha. Therefore, we have this pasuk, motzas vatecha, which is telling you that, well, it doesn't provide, right, it was a neder, now it's a nedava. It's not going to be fulfillment of your neder that you said, it'll just be something voluntary. So we've started out here and we've said, chatat is an exception to the rule. All the others stand different from chatat. That explains that they're all going to be ksherim. However, how do we know that they don't provide atonement? From matzas vatecha. So again, they're going to say, ve'eim ahacha b'nedru nidava leite v'lo lirtze, but asham artzu yenami lirtze. In other words, if we say, let's just make it very clear, okay? If we say that the chatat is the only one that's pasul, all the rest, okay, are ksherim, And then we say, well, yes, they're kshirim, but they're not lo miratzim, right? They don't provide this ritzoy. How do we know that? From the pasuk about a neder and a nedava, which would imply that maybe if the neder nedava pasuk maybe is only relevant for nedarim and nedavot and things like it, like ola shlamim, etc. But maybe the asham would be an exception, and then what? Where would we conclude? The asham isn't like a chatat, it's not pasul, because it doesn't have the unique pasuk. So an asham would just be kasher. And not only kasher, but also you would get ritsui. And it should work. So that's what they're suggesting here. So Amar Abaye, asham dimirtse lo matzit amart. Okay, you can't say that. Why? Kal vachomer me'ola. We can make a kal vachomer from an ola. Okay? How is our kal vachomer going to work? Uma ola she'ena mechaperet. Eina miratze, asham shemechaper eino din sheino miratze. An ola, which actually doesn't really provide atonement. You didn't do a sin. When you bring a korban ola, there's no sin to need the ritzui mamash. Okay, first of all, we're going to see later that an ola, generally people understood since all sin offering, right? Sins, any sins you do in the Torah already have their specific designated korbanot. Except for which sins? Which sins don't have either korbanot or punishments, mitzvah aseh that you don't do, your mevatel mitzvah aseh. If you don't mekayim a mitzvah aseh, except for two, brit milah and Pesach, you get karet for. But anything else, you don't get a punishment. Where else don't you get punished? Alav hanitak laaseh. Remember from Masechet Makot, if you have a lot aseh right next to an aseh, where the aseh kind of gives the, if you don't do this, but then do this, right? And it fixes it, so to speak. So there's no punishment mentioned there. So they say that the ola provides you with atonement for those sins. Okay, but it's not really a sin offering. You don't really, it doesn't necessarily provide you with kapara. So if in the ola, which doesn't even provide you with kapara, we're going to say there's no ritzoy, when you don't even really have something major to be miratzeh for. So all the more so in asham, where you have something that you need atoning for, of course we're not going to say, eino din sheino meratzeh. Of course we're not going to all of a sudden say, well, the asham you can get atonement for, and you can't for the others. So now we want to explain, but I asked to explain how we know that an ola is really kal and the asham is chamor. Mala ola sheken kalil. You might say ola is kalil, meaning everything gets burned, okay, and therefore it's more chamor. But shlamim yochichu, but shlamim will knock out, okay, we get to this classic kal v'chomer argument where we say, oh, well, this might have a chomer and therefore it's not kal, but something else doesn't have that exact chomer and has the same law, which means that that element is not what's causing this din, okay? The fact that it's kalil isn't what's making us say it's not doing the ritzoy. But shlamim, so shlamim yochichu. But then they say, what do you mean? Shlamim has its own chumrah. Mal shlamim shekein tu'unim nisachim utnuvat chaseh ba'ov. Okay, but that's something that's unique for shlamim, that they both need nisachim, at the libations, and you do the moving, the lifting, or what do you call it? The
waving,
thank you. The waving of the chaseh and the shok. So, ola tochiach. But ola will prove that that's not something, because ola doesn't have those things. So therefore, we see chazar hadin, okay, we get to the least common denominator, right? What's the least common denominator between ola and shlamim? Lo rizek rizeh, lo rizek rizeh, right? This one doesn't have the chumrah that one has, and that one doesn't have the chumrah that one has. Hatzara shaveh shabahem, what's the common denominator? Shehem kodashim, that they're both kodashim, basically. And what do we know the law about them is? Shchatan shalo lishma, ksherim ve'emiratzim. And if you do them shalo lishma, they're ksherim, and yet you don't get ritzoy. Af ani aviyat asham. Therefore, we can learn from there to the asham. Shehu kodesh, ushchato shalo lishma, kasher ve'eno miratzeh. Okay, and therefore, that's our kavachomer. But then they say, what do you mean? Mala tzara shavesha behen. There's another common denominator between those two that doesn't exist by an asham. What's the common denominator? Sheken yeshno b'tzibur. They are both offerings that can be brought, tzibur offerings. And an asham can never be brought as a tzibur offering. An asham is always an individual who does a sin. So therefore, you might say, maybe because yeshna b'tzibur, they have an element that the asham doesn't have. And maybe because of that element, that's why they don't get ritzui. But todah tochiach, but the korban todah will prove that that's not an element. That's not, because again, you have to find the common denominator between all of them. And a korban todah is only brought by an individual, not by a tzibur. Okay, but what about todah has its own chumrah aspect? Mal todah shekein tuna lechem. It's the only korban that comes with bread. But olam shlamim yochichu. But olam shlamim will prove again. Right now we can learn it from, right, since we want to get rid of, we don't want to have a common denominator of tzibur, so we're going to add to it the todah. So we now have, we're going to learn from ola, shlamim, and todah. And if you say, well, todah has its own unique chumrah, right, because then the only common denominator between them is that they're kodshim, and that the shchatan shelo lishma will be ksherim, but you can't get ritzoy. So now, what are they going to say? But that has its own unique chumrah to nalechem. But again, olam shlamim yochichu, olam shlamim will prove again. That's not a common denominator between all three. V'chazar adin lo rizeh kirizeh v'lo rizeh kirizeh hatzara shaveh shabahem. Now we have all three, and what's the common denominator between them? Shehen kodeshim v'shchatan shelo l'shma kasher ve'eno miratzeh, and therefore afani ve'et ha'asham shu kodesh v'shachato shelo l'shmo kasher ve'eno miratzeh. But now they say, no. And this is the knockout of the whole thing. Ma lahatzara shaveh shabahem, shehim ba'in b'neder u'b'nedava. Okay, what's the tzara shaveh between these two things? That you can bring them, this means that you can bring them b'neder u'b'nedava, that, right, that these are not obligatory offerings, right, that they can be voluntary if you want. You can voluntarily bring these things. Whereas an asham only comes, you can't just decide, oh, I want to bring a korban asham. And therefore, you might say that this only applies to offerings that have a voluntary element to them. Okay, in other words, there's another common denominator between these three things, the ola, shlamim, and todah, that they could potentially be brought as voluntary offerings, in which case you can't learn from there to asham, which is different. So basically, they knock out this kal v'chomer that Abaye tried to bring. So therefore, okay, let's remember where we were in the beginning. We're trying to figure out how we know that the asham doesn't get ritzoy, right? Even though it's kasher, right? You might think it's kasher and you could get the ritzoy for it once you said, you know, you thought it was an asham, you knew it was an asham, and then you thought and the kohen said, I'm sacrificing this as an ola. How do we know that when you continue to sacrifice it as an asham, once you mess it up, you still continue to sacrifice it. However, it becomes a voluntary offering and it doesn't provide you with ritzoy. How do we know that? So we tried to set up this kal v'chomer from the ola, shlamim, and todah, and in the end, we can't learn it like that because they have something that it doesn't have. Ela amar Rava. So Rava says, it's interesting, they each bring the two psukim we saw in the beginning, right? We started today with the Zot HaTorah that compared all the things, right? And then we had the pasuk of Motzah Svatecha. So Abaye started out with Motzah Svatecha, and let's learn from here, right? That was where he started. Rish Lakish brought that pasuk before, sorry. Rish Lakish brought the Motzah Svatecha, and now Rava's going to say, in order to explain Rish Lakish, to explain Rish Lakish's question, he's going to bring now this Zot HaTorah pasuk. He kisho katuv l'shlamim. Ma shlamim shehem kodeshim u'shchatan shelo l'shma ksherim ve'ei meratzim. Af ani avi asham shu kodesh. Okay, so now we're going to say that we learn it from the pasuk, which compares all the things, like we said before. Okay, this is again, maybe you could say this happened after they already said this. Right? They're basically saying, this is where we learn the dim from. It's going to have the exact same dim. And as we tried to say a few minutes ago, it has the exact same dim. We learn it from a kal v'chomer. Now we say, no, we learn it from a hekesh and the pasuk. And then you can't start arguing, well, that one's a little different than that one, because we don't care. The Torah put them all together in one pasuk, and it was to teach you. And again, we're coming, we already know this, right? But the Gemara at this point didn't yet know that. And they're saying, it comes to teach you. That pasuk is coming to teach you this din of shelo lishma, that we learned that it's kasher, but it doesn't provide you with ritzoy, also for a korban asham. And now comes our question I mentioned earlier, which is, my chazit akash l'shlamim, akish l'chatat. You're making this hakesh in the pasuk, but in the pasuk it also says the word chatat. So why don't you compare to a chatat, where the halacha is that it's pasul lagamre, right? Okay, you don't even continue to sacrifice it. And it even makes sense, right? Because asham is more similar to a chatat. Ha mi'et rachmana ota. They conclude and say, the reason is, only by chatat did it have this exclusion, right? There was the unique pasuk by chatat, which is shachat ota lichatat, which is ota lishma, kshera, and right, that only lishma is going to be kasher, but shalo lishma not, and therefore they're basically saying, the pasuk compares all of them, presumably even the chatat, however, there's a unique pasuk by chatat which removes chatat from the klal. And that's why only chatat is removed from the klal and nothing else. Okay, so that's our conclusion, basically. So we've explained that we have, right, again, we go back to these two psukim, the motzas vatecha comes to teach you, right, that it turns into, comes to teach you that it doesn't provide ritzoi, okay, that it turns into something else, it turns into a nidava, it becomes a voluntary offering. And we learn from Zot HaTorah that this applies across the board. Okay, so basically what we did, this whole exercise was really to explain where we started off in the beginning of the daf, where they just kind of said it, and here there's a whole discussion about trying to figure out how exactly do we derive it, maybe we derive it from somewhere else, okay, but in the end we come to the same conclusion we had originally, we just explained it a little bit better. Okay. Now we're going to go back to Rabbi Elazar, okay, so again, to remind you where we started, we had this discussion, Rish Lakish asked, if they're ksherim, then they should provide ritzoi, and if they don't provide ritzoi, then they should be psulim. And Rabbi Elazar said, well, I'll show you, we have a precedent by the Ola. And then he said, fine, I get it for the Ola, but what about the Asham? And Rabbi Elazar retorted and said, well, I can at least, yeah, you know, it can go like Rabbi Eliezer, who said that the Asham is like the Chatat, and you're right, okay? But you're right, but only according to Rabbi Eliezer. And then, but I can't really explain it according to Tanakhama. So Yativ Rav Huna v'Rav Nachman, the Yativ Rav Shesha Kabayu. Okay, Rav Huna v'Rav Nachman was sitting, and Rav Shesha was with them. By the way, this siman is a siman for the names of the rabbis in each of the stories. So the first story is, it's the order of the rabbis, Huna, Nachman, and Rav Shesha. Okay, the second will be different rabbis in different orders. Some of them are the same, but anyway, we'll see soon. So Rav Huna and Rav Nachman are sitting, Rav Shesha is by them. V'yatei v'kamre, and they said, Ka shilei l'Rish Lakish Asham. Rish Lakish was struggling with the Asham, Dilo Ate L'Acharmita, okay, that it couldn't be brought after, can't be brought after death, and therefore we have no precedent that an Asham could continue to be brought and yet not provide Ritzui. Lema Le Rabbi Elazar, why doesn't Rabbi Elazar say, Asham Nami Ate L'Acharmita? An Asham can also be brought after Mita. How can an Asham be brought after Mita? Like I said, because what do you do with the animal? You leave it until it gets a mum, yiru ad shiyistavu, you let it graze until it gets a mum, then you turn it into money, and then you take that money and you buy sacrifices for them and bring them on the mizbeach. So what do you see? It does have la'achar mita, it can be sacrificed again, not that exact animal, but the value of the animal gets sacrificed, and it also doesn't provide ritzui, clearly, because it's going to be a different sacrifice. Amar lehu rav sheshet, asham lemai karev, limotaro, right? What are you trying to say about the asham? How can it be karev for the motaro? What does it mean, the motaro? It means for its value, okay, for what's left of it, right? In other words, you flip it onto a coin and then, right, and then you buy animals with it. Well, if you're going to say that that's why an asham, why we have this precedent by an asham, and therefore why the asham would be in the category that it's kasher, but it doesn't provide ritzoi because we have a precedent, Chatat nami mikrav karva motara. Okay? A chatat also, you can be makriv the motar, in which case you would say, well, then according to this, the chatat also should be kasher but not provide ritzui. In other words, if you use this precedent with the asham, that same precedent exists by the chatat. Now, what do you mean it exists by the chatat? We just said, a chatat meta. So, what do you mean it exists? So, actually, a chatat, in a certain case, you can have, now it's not every case of chatat, but you could have a case of chatat where you would redeem the animal. What would be the case? The case is, okay, I just want, before I get into the case, I just want to make sure it's very clear what we're doing here. We're basically saying, well, the whole thing was to bring a precedent by the asham. Well, if you bring that precedent, there's the same precedent, or very similar anyway, same concept by chatat. And what do we know about chatat? It's pasul, and you don't sacrifice it, it's entirely disqualified. So therefore, the precedent by asham can't be a good precedent because it doesn't work by chatat. Okay, because the chatat, if you would do that, you would say the chatat's like the asham, and like all the other korbanot, we know it's not. So what's this precedent by chatat? If I say, I'm a little worried in my chatat, something's going to happen to it. So I'm going to designate from the beginning two animals. Okay, for achrayu purposes, for right, just to have to cover my bases. So I separate two animals, but because the second one was never fully designated as a chatat, because it wasn't really supposed to be sacrificed unless something happened to the first, and then I bring the first animal, and everything's good. It doesn't run away, get lost, something happened to it, right, stolen. So I actually sacrifice it. What happens with the second one? So since the second one was a pseudo-chatat, right, I designated it as a chatat, but it wasn't a definitive chatat because I was hoping never to have to bring it. Therefore, it has the same status as the asham. We basically send it to graze. We then flip the value onto a coin, to pidyon, and then buy animals with it. So the chatat itself has a precedent. Now you might say it's a bit of a unique case, but it still has a precedent where you could do such a thing. So therefore, we don't like the asham precedent because we could say the same by the chatat, and we know the chatat doesn't have the same din as the asham.
Reminds me of the backup kohen.
Yes, I was thinking the same thing. Right. It's like the backup kohen. You want to make sure that you're protected, that you're covered, that you, if something were to happen, you can, you know, right away have something else. Exactly. I was thinking the same thing. Okay, so now they say, chatat, afal, so they could say, you're right. It is the same thing. Chatat afal gav dekarva motaha, even though you're right, that you are mekarev, you can be makriv, bring as a sacrifice the motar, what's left of it. But mi'e rachmana, okay? But there's a special limud. In other words, you're right that if we take just precedent alone, you're right, the chatat would go with the asham. However, we already said, how do we know the chatat is not like everything else? Because it has its own unique pasuk. We saw this the other day, where if you have a pasuk, it overrides what might be logical. So we have the limud from a pasuk. But they say, if that's the case, though, asham nami haktiv behu. The asham also has a pasuk where it says who. Okay, here's the asham pasuk. Is this the one? 1 second. I think the Tanakh's not here. Okay. Here they quote, is it for this one? Zotarata Asham Kodesh Kodashim Hu. I actually think it's a different Pasuk. 1 second. Pasuk Asham Hu. Right, here it is, sorry. In Parshat Tzav, okay, look at Rashi. Rashi quotes it. Viktiru Hamizbeach Ishel Hashem Asham Hu. Okay, your Maktir the Evarim on the Mizbeach. Ishel Hashem, okay? Asham hu. So what do you see here? It also has the word hu. It didn't have to say asham hu. So maybe also it's to tell you that that has a unique din. There has to be asham. And if it's not, it's disqualified. So now we're stuck back again with why is asham different? So what are the answer? Hahu la'achar haktarat imurim hu dechtiv. Kiditanya, aval asham lo ne'emar bo, ela la'achar haktarat imurim. They say the location of the pasuk, and it's in the first pasuk with the chatat, what did it say? V'shachat oto l'chatat. It was in the shechita, in one of the ikar avodot. Remember we said, there's four ikar avodot. Okay, I'll keep reviewing these things so it gets to your head. Shechita, Kabbalah, right? Kabbalat Adam, Holacha, and Azrika. And after they would do that, they would do some other things, which, first of all, if you don't do them, it's not makev the korban, okay? And one of those is haktarat imurim, and that this pasuk about the asham was written after it mentions the haktarat imurim. It wasn't mentioned in one of the ikar avodot, and therefore you can't say that the who comes to talk about a case where one of the avodot were done shalo lishma, because the context of it is after the haktarat imurim, and what I just read is, right, let's just read it again. Kiditanya, like it says in a braita, aval asham lo ne'emar bo, hu elal achar haktarat imurim, right, the asham, the pasuk hu, the word hu was only said after the haktarat imurim, v'hu atzmo, and haktarat imurim itself, im lo iktiru imurim kasher, the whole thing is kasher if you don't do haktarat imurim. So the hu can't possibly be teaching you about one of the four ikar avodot, about the lishma. Okay, so therefore, what do we have? We have that chatat, maybe in theory, in others, again, what they're basically saying is Rabbi Elazar could have had an answer. Why didn't he say Asham does have a precedent? Because Yiru Ad Shiyistavu basically means it can be sacrificed. And if you want to question us by chatat, chatat has its own unique pasuk, which takes it out of the category. And if you want to say, well, Asham has the same pasuk, no, the Asham pasuk clearly isn't coming for that reason, because it's mentioned in a very unimportant aspect of the sacrificing, of the sacrificial ceremony. Okay, so then they're going to say, well, if that, okay, now we're just off on a tangent. Ela hu lamali. So what do you need the hu for then? If it's not for the lishma, what's the hu for in the asham? L'chidu rav huna amarav. De amarav huna amarav. Okay, it's a teacher, this other halacha. Asham shenitak l'riya, or l'ra'ya, which I guess it should be pronounced. Asham shenitak l'ra'ya, if an asham was taken and the court declared, this asham is no good, right? Let's say you took this asham, you did it, in the wrong, yeah, for the wrong, the Kohen said, this is going to be for a chatat, and then, or maybe that's not a good example, because there was one opinion that said that that's disqualified too, so let's just say you said it was going to be for a shlamim, and it was an asham, and the court declared, okay, this there was a mistake here, send it out to graze. Once it was sent out to graze, v'shachato, stam, what if you shechted it? Let's say it was sent out to graze, and it's supposed to be, well, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to do pidyon, you're supposed to wait till it gets a mum. But let's say by accident, or you know, for some reason, somebody shechted it, it's done. Okay? It's kasher. Okay? This animal, it's okay. In other words, yes, you're supposed to leave it, lirot ad shi po bamum, but if by accident someone shechted it, it's kasher. Okay? And you can, what does it mean kasher? We're not shechting it to eat it, we're shechting it to bring a sacrifice, like an ola, let's say. Someone wanted to bring it as a korban nidava, you can bring it. Okay? Now, what do we derive from here? Ni take in. Lo ni take lo. Okay, but it sounds like only once the court declared it, it needs to go out to graze. That's the case. But if they didn't declare it needing to go out to graze, then you couldn't, if someone sacrificed, if someone shechted it, let's say for a korban ola at this point, you can't use it for a korban ola. Okay, you can't use it. Why? It's pasul. My taima, what's the reason? And here we get to the who. Amarkra, hu bahavayato yehe. It stays as an asham until what time? Until they declare it nitak liriya. Until the court declares it, you have to send it off to graze. Okay? Now, Tosfot doesn't like this interpretation at all. Tosfot says it doesn't make any sense because he says that the whole thing about nitak liriya, and it's really mida oraita, this whole thing that the court has to declare it is all mida rabbana. But mida oraita, it's already disqualified as an asham and it should work if somebody brings it as an ola. So Tosfot has a totally different girsa, and he reads it as if you look in Tosfot, the Dibor Matzil Nitak In Lo Nitak Lo. So he doesn't have that nosach, and I just want to find it inside. He says I won't read it inside, but he basically says that the Havayato Yehe, he doesn't have the Nitak In Lo Nitak Lo. He thinks it's, as soon as it's not an asham, it can be sacrificed, and that's because Huba Havayato Yehe. The Havaya at this point is no longer an asham. Once you did it for a different korban, it's no longer an asham, and therefore, b'havaya toye, whatever it is, it doesn't matter whether you take or loan you take, the court declared it or didn't declare it. Either which way. So there's two opposite ways of reading this. Either which way, we have some drasha for the word who from the asham that has to do with this issue. Yeah, you know, this side issue. Yatvei Rav Nachman v'Rav Sheshet. Here's the second siman we saw, okay? Nun Shin Aleph, right? So, I'm sorry. Oh, and it's actually Bet Shin Hey. Wait, why is the Bet Shin Hey? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the siman is for something else. Anyway, Yatvei Rav Nachman v'Rav Sheshet. V'yativ Rav Ad Bar Matna Gabayhu. Okay, so Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet were sitting. Rav Ad Bar Matna was by them. V'yativ V'ka'amre. Had Ka'amar Rabbi Elazar. Matzinu b'ba'in la'achar mitah shehem k'shirim ve'em miratzim. Okay, the fact that this is his answer that he gave him. Lema le Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish could have said to him, Hanu nami leite v'lirtzu. In other words, what did he say? The fact that we see these can be la'achar mitah, that they're k'shirim ve'em miratzim, like the yoledet, why didn't Rish Lakish say, what do you mean? Maybe they do provide ritzui. Who's to say when the ola, okay, when the, we're basically... We saw all sorts of things in the sugya today, and then later on they come and question them entirely. The fact that the yorshim of the yoledet bring this korban ola after she's already dead, who's to say that that means they bring it and it doesn't provide ritzui? Maybe it does provide ritzui. Okay? In other words, maybe they're getting something out of this korban. It's a ritzui for them. Okay? She brought this as a korban yoledet, and it continues to provide them with ritzui. So Amar Lahem Ravada Bar Matna, Imhi yalda banehem yaldu. What do you mean? How could you possibly think this is provide some sort of ritzoi for the sons? The sons didn't give birth, obviously, right? She's the yoledet. How could, if it's supposed to provide her ritzoi for being a yoledet, how can it provide the sons ritzoi? So matkiflar of Asi Uman lemalan di'ika kama ase gaba lomit kapra. When this Yoleda brings, this is a really interesting thing. If she brings this Ola, right? Now, what did we say about an Ola? I told you earlier. An Ola is mechaper on mitzvot ase that you are mevatel or alavani takla ase. Okay, that's the presumption. Now, she's bringing this not for that purpose. She's bringing it because she's a Yoleda and has to bring it. But when she's bringing that Ola, doesn't it also, it'll be like this umbrella, it'll include other things in it. If she has a few mitzvot ase that she didn't do, so the Ola that she brings when she's a Yoledet will cover that. Okay?
She doesn't have to have atone for that?
So apparently not. So it's interesting, right? That this, once she's bringing it, well, first of all, maybe she can. Maybe she needs. It's not clear. But either which way, let's say she, even if she needs to have some kavanah. So when she brings it, it'll provide her for atonement for all those things. So therefore, v'keva di'ika kama aseh gaba mikapra, and since if she has a bunch of aseh she didn't do, this will provide atonement. Yorshanami mechapre. You could say that when the Yorshim bring her korban yoledet, they're basically bringing an ola to the Beit HaMikdash, and it should be, maybe it does provide atonement for them. So then, they're going to say, according to this, if you're assuming that that's the case, lameimer dekanya lehu. You're basically saying that when the Yorshim, there's a big debate here, when the Yorshim bring her sacrifice, are they bringing it as her messenger, so to speak, and just for her, or are they bringing it because it becomes theirs? Now, if you say it's going to provide them atonement for their sins, then you'd be saying that they have ownership over it. That's going to raise a different problem. According to what you're saying, then, it would be that they're koneh this korban. If somebody has a mincha that he separated, designated already, and he dies and he leaves it for his two sons, kreva be'embo shutafut. We sacrifice it, and it doesn't have a din of shutafut. You can't bring a mincha. Mincha has to be brought only by an individual. And therefore, here you might say, well, there's two sons, so it can no longer be brought. No. We don't view this as shutafut. Now, why don't we view this as shutafut? Because obviously, they're not kone. If they were kone it, it would be something that two people own jointly. So what do you see? They're not kone. So how could you say that the children can be provided atonement? Sounds like they're kone. And from the mincha case, it sounds like if ain't bo shutafut, they're not kone. And if you thought that they were kone, nefesh amar rahmana. Below kone. Okay, nefesh amar rahmana, right? It says there, Nevesh ki tikrav korban mincha la'Hashem. It can only be brought by an individual and not jointly. Okay? So then, they say, now they're going to say, so according to this, they're not koneh, right? That's what we're assuming. And that raises a question to what we said before, where it sounds like they are koneh because they can be provided atonement for their own sins. So now the Gemara says, what do you mean? They're not koneh for the mincha purposes. V'lo kan yalu v'hamar v'yochanan hiniach be'ma l'shnei banav u'met kreva ve'emim mirimba. It says that if you leave an animal to your two sons and die, so that, you know, in other words, he died, and then what do we say? The two sons sacrifice it, but there's no din of tamura. What's the din of tamura? If they decide we're going to not use this animal, we use a different animal in its stead, what happens? The second animal becomes kodesh, and the first animal stays kodesh also. Okay? And then they're chayav, they've done a sin because they've made mir. Okay? But in this case, that he leaves it to his two sons, there's no dinim of tamura. It's not an isra of tamura, and it's not part of the whole dinim of tamura. And why is that? Because, we'll see in a minute, that it says in the psukim about lahamir, it says, lo yachlifena velo yamir, everything is belashon yachid. So it's only if one person owns it. So now they're going to say, Iyamar bishlama kanya lehu, if they acquired it, hainu de'emim mimir rimba. In other words, the only reason why tamura shouldn't work here is because they must be shutafin, they acquired it. So this source shows that they did acquire it. So now we're stuck because we have different sources, right? Ushutafin lo matzim emirim. Ela iamar lo kan yelahu. Imurinami limru, right? If they said that they don't acquire it, then it's still an offering that belongs to one single person, which is the father. And then we should say that it has the din of tamura. Okay, so therefore, they're going to say it sounds like you are kone. And then they say, no, shane hatam de amarka im hamer yamir lirabot et hayoresh. Okay, now they're going to say, there's a special limud. In other words, yes, in theory, they're not really kone, but there's a special limud. It's not because they're shutafim and that they were kone. There's a special limud by Tamura because it says im hamer yamir, the double lashon, the hamer, the extra hamer, could just say im yamir. So it's lirabot et hayoresh to say that a yoresh is also memir, even though, right, in other words, he's memir as a yoresh. Okay, one second. Sorry. Le'im hamir yamir le'rabot et hayoresh. Wait, because what do we say? Hiniach be'ema u'mekriva be'em emirim ba. That's why the rabot hayoresh. I would think it's not relevant to the yoresh.
One effect, one heir, but not two.
Oh, that's what it is. Sorry, I didn't read on. That's why. The rabot hayoresh echad memir ve'ein shnayim memirim. Right. They dafka say hamir yamir includes the yoresh, but it's only a single yolo yoresh and not a double yoresh. Meaning, it's especially moved from a pesukah has nothing to do with koneh or not koneh. So we're left with. Right? It's not koneh, and that goes back to answer why you couldn't say that the yorshim should be provided, in the case of the woman who was a yoledet, the yorshim should get ritsui. And how can they get ritsui? They don't own it. Okay? And here we see the yorshim don't actually take ownership over the korban. By tamura, the halacha was only because of a unique limud of im hamer yamir, which included the yoresh, but only one yoresh and not two yorshim.